President-elect George W. Bush is celebrating the new year at home in Texas. He's expected to fill the three remaining vacancies in his cabinet soon. 2 weeks after he takes the oath of office, he must deliver a budget to Capitol Hill. NPR national political correspondent Elizabeth Arnold joins me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
First, let's review the Clinton years. Capitol Hill was not as easy to navigate as the Arkansas governor first expected.
No, not by a long shot, Bob. The newly elected President Clinton had a considerable learning curve, despite a staff that included a number of Hill veterans. During his first 2 years, he tried to move a little too fast, sometimes listened a little too closely to Democratic leaders, Tom Foley and George Mitchell at the time. And although I suppose it could be said that he was too eager, he was also the victim of a Democratic Congress, perhaps a little too eager to use its newfound power in the White House. And the result, in the end, as we all know, was a revolution, a Republican congressional majority. President-elect Bush may find himself in a similar position with Congress so divided. He's going to have to convince key Republicans that it's in their best interest to give a little, to get a little, instead of trying to muscle controversial legislation through. But that's not going to be an easy task.
I think President Clinton did better once the Democrats lost the majority.
Yeah, exactly. The president and a few critical allies on the Hill started to work together. Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle was a key player. He proved to be a tougher adversary than the GOP thought. The president did begin to forge some agreements. He fought back others and scored some victories in spite of Congress. And he certainly learned, Bob, that personal skills weren't exactly the way to win over Capitol Hill, something which it appears President-elect Bush is banking on.
When Bush is asked about his ability to govern after such a difficult election, he says he knows how to earn and spend political capital. What is he up against?
Well, he starts off with no political capital. He lost the popular vote. He barely won the Electoral College. He's got no mandate to speak of, faces a divided electorate and an evenly split Senate and a narrowly divided House. That's pretty tough. That's compounded by economic jitters. Some almost 50% of Americans are saying now that they worry about a future recession. Wall Street's getting skittish. Problems are brewing overseas. And if you take a closer look at Congress, Bob, once you get past all the promises of bipartisanship that we've been hearing, you know, you see some very bitter Democrats, some rather pessimistic centrists on both sides, and perhaps Mr. Bush's biggest problem, conservative Republicans led by House Majority Whip Tom DeLay, and he's hardly the master of compromise and consensus.
Now, Bush says he's going to follow through on the legislative agenda that he outlined during the campaign, including that $1.3 trillion tax cut. Does he have a strategy to do that?
Well, cherry-picking a few Democrats for his cabinet, that's not going to cut it, Bob. Neither is charming a few Democratic members of Congress. That's a far cry from building a coalition to get some sizable legislation through. Without getting into the arcane details of cloture in the Senate, Mr. Bush is going to have to muster 10 Democrats to shut off debate and pass a bill. That's pretty tough. Other than Vice President Cheney, his White House isn't exactly teeming with Hill expertise yet. But here's the outline, at least what he's saying, of a simple strategy. Find areas of agreement. Try to pass some easy stuff first, like raising military pay, some kind of compromise patients' bill of rights, HMO reform, tougher standards for public schools, things that both parties can agree on, that kind of thing. But it could turn sour pretty quickly. He's already running into trouble on the tax cut plan, as you mentioned, with some Republicans now urging him to go slow, do it piecemeal, conservatives saying, don't you dare, warning him not to back away from it. He's got little or no time to put together a full budget. He's talking about some sort of vision statement instead. He's got to take steps toward tackling Social Security and Medicare reform, at least move on that front. His campaign staff, who are all headed to Washington with him, they say, hey, he can do it all. He's promising an explosion of legislation. That's his phrase. But whether any of that legislation passes is another question entirely.
Well, he seems to think all this is doable.
Well, his rationale, at least publicly, is the opposite of what people like myself are saying, is that this very protracted, closely divided election is the reason he will succeed. He's counting on Americans being so sick of partisanship, they'll force their representatives on Capitol Hill to come together and get things done. I'd say keep a close eye on Minority Leader Tom Daschle in the Senate and Majority Whip Tom DeLay in the House. Any coming together is going to require their cooperation. And I'd also add, don't forget Mr. Bush's foe in the Republican primaries, Senator John McCain, who is working tirelessly to ensure that campaign finance reform will be the first bill to hit the newly elected president's desk, a bill that he and his conservative backers aren't going to want to sign.
NPR National Political Correspondent Elizabeth Arnold.